Hey, everybody, we're talking to Aaron Markham today. What an amazing guy. He founded and scaled several multi-million dollar businesses. In 2015, he'd reached financial success, but was burnt out, and he was struggling to find sustainable happiness. But from that point on, he decided to make some really big changes, and that's what's propelled his success. He's got some incredible stories about entrepreneurship, burnout, and what it means to live the good life. He's a great new friend of mine. You don't want to miss this incredible conversation.
Welcome to The Last 10%. Your host, Dallas Burnett, dives into incredible conversations that will inspire you to finish well and finish strong. Listen as guests share their journeys and valuable advice on living in the last 10%. If you are a leader, a coach, a business owner, or someone looking to level up, you are in the right place. Remember, you can give 90% effort and make it a long way, but it's finding out how to unlock the last 10% that makes all the difference in your life, your relationships, and your work. Now, here's Dallas.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. I am Dallas Burnett, sitting in my 1905 Koch Brothers barber chair in Thrive Studios. But more importantly, today we have a great guest. He's got a master's in applied positive psychology. He's a best-selling author, speaker, entrepreneur extraordinaire. Oh my goodness. Welcome to the show, Aaron.
Oh, so good to be here, Dallas. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to sit down with you.
Yes, this has been good. We've been looking at this on the calendar and excited as well. You've just had such a great wealth of experience in leadership, leading and growing teams, which we're all about, and entrepreneurship, which we're all about. And so we're really excited to have you on. So you've got a background in the healthcare industry. Tell us a little bit about what got you into healthcare and about some of your journey.
Yeah, when I graduated from college, I always knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I wanted to do my own thing, but I knew I had to go work for the man for a little bit, for a few years, and I did. And I think it was about 5 years after I graduated, I just came across the field of home care, the sector of healthcare, and knew that the senior industry, baby boomers, knew what was going on there and how much they were going to need it. Had no background in home care, obviously. I was doing telecom sales at the time and decided just on a whim, I wouldn't say a whim. I knew I wanted to do my own thing, but organically opened up my own home care company in Salt Lake.
Wow.
And it started from scratch. Wasn't a franchise or anything like that. Started it from scratch. And then over the course of about 7 years, I grew it to be the largest in the state in that area. And so it was quite a journey. And throughout that journey, ups and downs, but the first 3 years, crazy. I remember coming home. I had 4 kids at the time. I have 6 kids. Wow. We didn't talk about that before the show, but I have 3 boys, 3 girls. At the time I had 4. And I was coming home, eating dinner, and then I would go back to the office.
Yes.
Almost every day till 2 a.m. And back then I was younger. I started that when I was 28 years old. And so I had maybe the energy to do that. I think I could do that now, but I don't think I would last. And gratefully, I've learned a ton where I would never have to do that now. I feel like I could start any company and get it to $1 million within a few months. I really feel that confident in that in all the things I've learned, but it was back then that I was experiencing burnout and I knew I had to make changes. So I did make changes back then. It was slow, but over time, within that 7-year period before I actually sold it to a public company, I got my life back. And I became, even back then, fascinated with well-being and investing in yourself and so forth, and launched my second company, which really was one of my most successful ventures. Back in the home care space, data analytics, think of like JD Powers for home care. So Home Care Pulse is the name of the company. Okay. They're a wonderful brand in the home care space, very well known. But you think I'd learned my lesson. So by the time that, in positive psychology, we call it obsessive passion. I became obsessively passionate about making an impact in the home care space and changing the quality standards, which we were doing, which we ultimately did, but I sacrificed my well-being. So by 2015, I was exhausted. I was overweight. I was not taking care of myself. And I was living, I write about this in my book, The Lie of the Either Or. I thought if I could just continue to grow my company and invest in my company, eventually my personal well-being will catch up. I was living that lie that I couldn't have both personal and professional well-being
right
synced at the same time.
Right.
Yeah. A lot of us live that
way. And I think of it, you've got this dream, like you say, okay, I'm going to create this thing and it's going to be wildly successful on the front side. At least you think that this is, you've got all the, and then as you're going through it, you've still got this vision for this thing you create. But I think a lot of entrepreneurs say, I know I'm not taking care of myself, but this is what entrepreneurship's all about. It's all about the grind and it's all about pulling ridiculous hours and taking ridiculous risks. And my well-being's going to just heck care because whenever I either sell out or meet that vision or whatever, then I cannot focus on that because I've accomplished that. Then I'll be able to put myself first. And I think this just doesn't work. It doesn't work.
It doesn't work. I was a teen financially. It was doing well. And we were growing. Things were going well that way. But yeah, you just live this lie that eventually it'll catch up with itself. Yeah, and I've worked with and since coached many entrepreneurs, and I've seen some of the wealthiest. I remember sitting down with a guy probably worth about $500 million, and he was one of them. He's just unhappy. He had burned a lot of his relationships along the way, and I remember him just being open and honest of all his regrets that he had experienced. Yeah, and he had all the money in the world. He didn't have a care in the world when it came to his financial well-being, but he certainly did with his relationships. And so 2016, I finally got it where I just invested in my well-being. April of 2016, I got into cycling. I signed up for a 200-mile bike race. This is my personality, by the way, Dallas. A lot of this blows people away that I would do this, but I ordered my bike the same day I signed up for a 200-mile bike race. I never road biked in my life.
Man, you just needed some motivation.
Yeah, that's right. If I'm going to do this, I'm going all in.
I totally get it.
I call it, now I have a program now for home care providers called the Breakaway Accelerator, and it's based upon that concept. It's like the best growth is accelerated growth. Slow growth is, to me, and there's a lot of science behind that too, that it's hard growth. It's harder to grow slowly than it is to accelerate. So I went through this accelerated journey in 2016. And as I did, what's amazing is if you look at the trajectory of my company at the time, it also grew along with it. We're talking hockey stick growth.
Wow.
And if you talk to my leadership team back then, they'll tell you it was when Aaron decided to invest in his own personal journey and his own personal well-being.
Yes.
That's when he started letting go. Of not just letting go, I still had control. And I don't know if letting go is the right term. It was more or less, I delegated. I created a more self-managed company.
Right.
And I stopped trying to do everything myself. Mm. All the big things.
Yes.
I had a wonderful team that could handle that, unfortunately. We had to make some changes to make that happen. And then 2018, 2 years later, I stepped down as CEO of that company.
Wow. Wow.
That's the acceleration. Like when you really start investing in yourself and in your own well-being, you show up better. Mm. You're a better person. You're a better boss. You think more clearly. I started doing other investments in other businesses at the time. I was doing less work.
Right.
That's what's cool about it is that my coach is Dan Sullivan. I don't know if you're familiar with Dan, but he's a yes. strategic coach, wrote 10X is Easier Than 2X with Benjamin Hardy.
Yeah.
He's a hero of mine. I know Dan personally, and he has this term called his four freedoms: freedom of time, money, relationships, and purpose, which is also what Aristotle calls the good life. I see that as also the good life. They're synonymous of each other. And so entrepreneurs, when they can create those freedoms in their lives, I've added an additional one health. Like health has been really important to me.
Yes.
But anyway, that's the two-thirds part of my story. And then I got into positive psychology in 2017. I ended up going to UPenn in 2021 at the age of 49, 50, got accepted to the top program in the world in positive psychology,
wow.
studied under Martin Seligman, who's like the father of positive psychology. I wrote my thesis capstone, which was really the foundational, kind of the beginning of the book.
Mm.
And then after I graduated from that, I wrote the book.
Wow.
And it was transformational for me as a father, frankly, not just as an entrepreneur, but my kids saw a difference.
Mm-hmm.
I started using the science that I was learning into my own investment, into my own personal well-being. So I just elevated even more from 2016 forward. But it's not perfect. I always tell people, like, I struggle all the time still. It's not because I have this degree that I'm living this like ideal life. I live a life like anyone else. You have to continually check your mindset, check your limited thinking. So anyway,
I would love
there. That's my journey though. I wanted to.
Really great. Yeah. Really great. I would love to ask you a question about you talked about starting into that positive psychology graduate work and how that was very influential too. And it sounds like you had a lot of pieces in place because of your entrepreneurial experience and growth. And obviously, if you're scaling businesses, it's pushing you to grow and change your limiting mindsets already.
Yeah.
But it's almost like you were able to codify some of these things as you go through your master's. Was there one or two things that were aha moments in your positive psychology stint in that graduate work or your thesis, or one or two things that stood out to you as, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I've completed this program to learn this?
Yeah, there's so many. And one that comes to my mind, that you can find information on this theory, it's called the self-determination theory.
Mm-hmm.
And it's based upon three components. And one of them, just all of them resonated with me. But the first one is autonomy. I had realized that up until 2016, I hadn't created autonomy in my business.
Mm.
I'm doing a startup right now, this breakaway accelerator, for example. And I'm taking my family to Cancun, flying out Saturday in the middle of a startup. I do things differently now.
That's different than going back to work after it's dinner at night till 2 a.m. That's a different approach, right?
Yeah, exactly. Completely different. My mindset's different. You know, I realize how important it is early on. And I get it. When you are a new entrepreneur, aspiring entrepreneur, and maybe you don't have the capital to invest in all the right people, because I've already created a team to surround myself with. But in the book, I do talk about that there are still things, even if you don't have capital, to where you can create the space that you need to continually thrive while you're starting that. And so autonomy early on, and my capstone was actually for the aspiring entrepreneur, and people can read that capstone. It's on the UPenn Masters of Applied Positive Psychology sites. Really, you can Google it, frankly, it should pull up. But it was all about the aspiring entrepreneur, not the experienced entrepreneur. Mm. Like, how can they thrive?
Mm. Mm.
And when they're starting, because so many great ideas die because they get burned out early on and they give up.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And so I want to help the entrepreneur, even on the early stages, to say, you know what? I'm not going to give up because I'm still investing in me and I'm experiencing autonomy. So that autonomy, freedom, really important. The other two pillars to that is relationships. The book, The Good Life, that came out last year on the longest Harvard study on relationships. It's the number one contributor to well-being.
Yeah.
You know, so really important. And the third pillar is competence. We have to feel like we're capable and competent in what we're doing. And I would go beyond competent to say that we are in our superpower. If a entrepreneur is doing what they're wired to do, and I talk about this in the book. So Dallas, I think you're going to love this concept. So I talk about the third law in my book is called entrepreneurial grit.
Yep.
And I go through these five levels of grit.
Okay.
And the first level is curiosity. Like when you first start, or before you even start, you're curious about an idea or a concept. Like, I was curious about home care. What is that about? What's the opportunity there? Then interest goes into the research. You get more interested. That's second phase. And the third phase is the practice phase. To where the further you go, the more grit you have in an entrepreneurial venture.
Yes.
And the problem, I think, even with, especially with younger entrepreneurs, is that they want to skip the practice phase. They think, I'm just going to have the passion. Oh. The passion's just going to come. Because that's the fourth one. Like, you have to practice enough. Yes. And test things, find out what's working, what doesn't work. Like, when I first started my home care business, I wouldn't say I was passionate about home care right out of the gate, to be fully honest. Right. It was only when I started taking care of others, as practicing that and leaning into it, did that passion come.
I think there's an interesting thing, because I think it's almost like the difference when you're first dating someone and you're infatuated with that person versus you talk to somebody who's been married for like 50 years, right? And it's like, there's just a difference, right? Because when you're an entrepreneur and you see something bright and shiny, you're like, yeah, I'm going to be passionate about that.
Yeah.
But is that really a feeling, or are you just infatuated with the idea, and or is it a belief? And I think what you're getting at is that passion was a deep-seated belief that was attached to something a lot bigger and stronger than just a business.
Grows.
Yes, yes, yes.
I would say, you know, that last 10% that you talk about is that you don't really get to enjoy that last 10% until you're there, right? Until the passion phase, perhaps. Because what's going to get you from the 90 to the 100% is passion. And then I think once you get to 100%, maybe it's between 90 and 100%, who knows? But the fifth one is the calling phase. Like, when we feel called, it's different from passion. Passion's more internal, and you have to have it. It's, what am I passionate about? When calling is, what's my contribution to the greater whole? Like, who am I going to impact? You feel called to make a difference as an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And when you are called, man, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Right, is that your perseverance. Now, you can become obsessive like I did, so you got to check that, right, when you're called.
Sure.
But it sure helps.
Let's talk about that for a second, because it was a great jump off. You've written a new book. It's called Entre Thrive. It just came out in February. Is that correct? It's just out? And just hit Amazon bestsellers. You were featured in USA Today, so that's huge, man. That's huge. So you talked about getting to a place of burnout in 2015. And so how would you recognize that you were burnout? And what are some of the things, especially things that you unpack in the book, that you would want to speak to maybe a leader or business owner or entrepreneur that is feeling like they're in your 2015 burnout?
Going back to that cycling term, and I try not to get emotional when I talk about this, because there was someone who had a significant impact on my life back in 2015 that's no longer with us, Dale. But I think in the cycling world, we have this concept called drafting. And drafting, if you get behind someone's tire, it saves you literally 33% of your energy. And I believe to really break away, and again, I use that term a lot, and I have a whole program, the startup is the breakaway accelerator for home care providers. Yeah, it's like, if we stay in the pack where we're at and we just do what everyone else is doing, nothing really changes in our lives. And in 2015, I was in the pack. It wasn't like I was like super unhappy, falling back behind the pack. I was just in the pack. But I knew I could do so much more, and I was capable of so much more. And I had a buddy, Dale Green, who would remind me that I was still in the pack and that I needed to break free, that he knew I could do more. So it started out, he was a 4 a.m.er, meaning he was at the gym at 4 a.m.
Good gracious.
You know?
Oh.
And I don't know if I ever got that vision. I started 5 a.m., but he was still there.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, of course. And he became he got me going to the gym back then in 2015. That's when it all started, and became great friends. He ended up investing in my company in 2016. Very, very successful entrepreneur. And the things he would just, he was just so brutally honest with me, but in a very compassionate way. It wasn't like he was rude about it. He was just like, Aaron, you can do better. You can do more. And he was my drafting partner. He was in front of me and allowing me to draft from him. And part of that was that he had put so much trust in me. I mean, he invested a significant amount in my business in 2016, purely out of trust. And I had this concept is it's better to give trust than and then allow people to earn it. I don't really earned his trust necessarily. He just gave it to me.
Wow.
And that my confidence in myself just soared. To April 2022, he passed away of cancer. Dale, which was, you know, he was as fit as I mean, guy was a tank, fit. He ended up with bone cancer. And anyway, the hardest, one of the hardest losses I've ever had as far as a friend, even he was like an older brother to me. I have six brothers and he was like one of my other brothers. Yeah. And anyway, that and the concept and fast forward with the book, right, is that I talk a lot about people and relationships in our lives is that if we really, truly want to break away, doing it by ourselves, it's like the Tour de France. Anyone who wants a yellow jersey isn't going to get that yellow jersey by themselves.
That's right.
They need a team.
Yeah.
They need someone getting in front of them.
Yeah.
And that's what Dale was for me. And that's what I want to, I try to be for other people is to say, hey, let's break away together. And this is your breakaway. I'm going to help you with your breakaway. If I have to go back to where I'm at, that's fine. I'm going to help you with your breakaway. Yeah. And that's a real key concept. And so when I wrote the book, I thought about my 2015 self. I was my own target market. I was like, okay, I'm writing for that person in 2015.
Yeah, right, right.
And said, what did that guy need back then to help him break away? And what did Dale do and others? It wasn't just Dale. I had a team, Eric, who was also, he helped me, he was my CEO at the time, helped me break away. And he continues to play that role in my life. There's just a lot of people like that that reach out to those mentors, those people who have already been there. One thing, a concept that I have always loved that I continue to remind myself of is that if I'm going to take guidance from somebody as far as a breakaway, I want to take guidance from someone who lives on the path that I want to take, who's been on it. Yeah, and that was Dale. That was rather than someone who just talks about it but has never done it. I think that's important is find those people that you want, that's what you want. And a lot of those people are givers. Like they want to help. They want other people to get on that path. They're selfless people typically. They're not, they don't want to just hold it to themselves. I have found that time and time again in my life.
Absolutely.
You know, so.
That's awesome.
Anyway, I wrote for my 2015 self and that's where the eight laws spurred from, as well as positive psychology and my capstone and all those things just culminated.
That's awesome. So as that relates to burnout, what is some advice that you would give to an aspiring entrepreneur who's suffering from burnout right now? What would be the first thing in terms of breaking out of that burnout? What would you say in your experience was something that helped shift or maybe some were doing or not doing that helped you break out of that 2015 pattern?
Yeah. I think the first law I talk about in the book is entrepreneurial clarity or entre-clarity. And the first phase, I break up every law into four. And it's based upon the quote by Martin Luther King. He says, if you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, you know, keep moving forward. And I love that quote. And I broke that book out like that. And so the first kind of crawl part of entre-clarity is what are your guiding truths? These aren't your core values in your business. These are your guiding truths, things you want to be true about yourself. And I actually created my guiding truths several years ago. And I have 9 guiding truths. I added a 9th one last year. And so I had the 8 for several years, but they go, my mind is at peace. My actions reflect character. My family receives of my time. My ventures create freedom. Those are my guiding truths. And I think as an entrepreneur, you've got to decide what you want out of your life and what those truths are. And so I walk through the book. And if you can get clear on that, that helps you also guide you through decisions, things you should or shouldn't be doing. It also helps you, your guiding truths should help you say no to even financial endeavors that might give you a nice return financially, but burn you out completely.
Right.
Because what's the point, yeah, right? If that's exactly going to burn you out.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so they're really important. So I'd say guiding truths. And then again, on the clarity is to accept where you are today. It's self-acceptance. Mm. We talk a lot about that in positive psychology, which requires self-awareness. They go hand in glove. They're just, they match together. And then the run phase of the clarity is the breakaway. What are you, where do you want to go? What do you want out of life? Dan Sullivan has taught me that it's okay to want what you want and not make justifications for it, not make excuses. A lot of times I think as entrepreneurs that we, even financial wanting, we try to make justifications for that. Well, it's okay to want what you want, just as long as you know what that is, and that as long as it's legal,
right.
As long as it's like gonna help the greater good, sure, in my opinion, then it's okay to want what you want and then lean into that. So I'd say it starts with that clarity, honestly, and getting clear on those breakaways and where you want to go with that.
I think it's so true. I think that if you're struggling with burnout or you feel like underwater, I think what that clarity, that entree clarity that you talked about does with those values is it allows you to refocus and start prioritizing what's the most important thing and what do I need to be focused on? Because if you don't, there's the tyranny of the urgent and there's all these coulda, shoulda, wouldas and all this stuff. And then you've got the shame and guilt and all this other stuff, the baggage that you're carrying along. And you know, you can worry about, am I being too greedy to want this success? Or have I wasted my time? Or did I screw up that last venture that failed? And there's so many things out there. So I think that if you can describe with great clarity what you're all about, like what makes you and what you really want, then I think that it really helps you focus. And that can take a lot off your plate and help do some recovery from burnout. So I think that's really good. I think that's really good advice.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the, we talked a little bit about the either or myth for entrepreneurs, but you mentioned, and we were talking about this before the show, the good life. And we even said it in the opener, is the good life. What does it look like to you when you say you like working with entrepreneurs and helping them with their well-being and helping them understand the good life concept? What does that mean to you? And what would that look like for an entrepreneur?
Yeah. Yeah. Aristotle was the first one who came up with that, the good life, the concept. And if you asked Aristotle what the good life was, I think he would say the complete life. I know this is a little bit cliche, but it's a journey, right? Is that the good life is, there's not necessarily an end to creating the good life. And I love the term create rather than live the good life because it takes some effort to create that for yourself.
Yeah.
And back to deciding what you want, like the good life for me means more freedom of time.
Yes.
Like that to me, as I protect my time, I'm not going to create a new venture if it's going to rob me of my time for the long term. Sure. I realize you have to dip a little bit when you create something.
Right.
Because you have to put the time and energy into it. But if I feel like 2 years from now, I'm still going to be doing that, it's a no for me. So the good life, you create it in your own mind what that is. And again, going back to Dan Sullivan's four freedoms, and again, health is the fifth for me, but freedom of time, money, relationships, purpose, and health is that to me, if you look at, there's really not a whole lot that fits outside of that as far as what we want as entrepreneurs. Mm. And so what does time look like for you as an entrepreneur? Create, that's part of the good life. Is that okay? I want my Fridays and weekends, perhaps, where I'm not checking my email on Saturdays and Sundays. That's the good life.
Yeah.
For me, at least. And I think it is for many people. Is that, what does that look like? Money. What does that look like for you? But this is a dangerous one, I think, because we can always say, okay, if once I get $5 million, I'll be happy.
Right.
And then you get to $5 million and what happens, you know? Well, once I get to $10 million, I'll be happy. And that's a real trap, you know, for entrepreneurs, is that sometimes it's not an amount. Sometimes it's a lifestyle. Mm. Or sometimes it's just that there's no debt and you're financially secure. You have to check yourself on that one,
yeah.
I think, to make sure that you're not setting this arbitrary goal and then you're just going to keep moving that out
because
you'll never be happy. Money doesn't create happiness, you know, on its own. But I'd be a hypocrite if I didn't say it does help a little bit, you know.
Right.
I mean, it does create some freedoms that you normally wouldn't maybe have. And so that's important. Relationships, man, oh man, that's a huge one.
Yeah. Yeah.
When it comes to the good life purpose.
I would love for you to talk a little bit about more relationships as it relates, because we've got a lot of coaches and we call them leader coaches on the show. These are people that are leading in companies and organizations. I think you talked about having a right-hand man, a COO, and there's VPs and directors and managers. These are people that have responsibilities, and part of their responsibilities is leading teams. What would you say is something that you've learned through your career that's been really helpful, either in values that you instilled in your leadership team that's leading others, or things that's helped you as it relates to relationships in business lead well?
Yeah, man, I've learned a lot of what I've learned is from other people, mm-hmm. right? Is you watch the masters of relationships, and I've surrounded myself some really the people who are just masters at this. I write about it. So the fourth law is interconnections and entrepreneurial connections. And the crawl part of that is congruency. So I think in order to foster and cultivate relationships, this one I think is undervalued, is that to be congruent with who you are in public as you are in private. So with your team, if you're leading a team, is that you are showing up congruent with them. This is that what you're asking them to do is exactly what you would do. And that's how you lead. It's that congruency. I think it's really imperative. Second one is being present. Is that, and we hear that a lot, but when I say present, I'm talking in both your personal family relationships, deep connections, as well as your team members, is that you're really sincerely present. I mentioned Eric's name previously, and I actually talk about him in the book, is that he would sit down. I had a call center, one of my companies. We had a call center of about 80 college kids.
Wow.
And here's Eric in his mid-40s, 6'4", I think, big guy, he has a presence about him. He could be maybe a little intimidating if you didn't know him. Once you know him, he's not at all. And he would sit down with these call center research associates and have real meaningful conversations with them. I'd sit there and watch him do this.
That's so good.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the high quality, we call it in positive psychology, which is the third phase, is the high quality connections. If we could have those connections on a daily basis with our team members, where we're just asking them about their lives, and or even if it's work related, I remember Eric sitting down and he would ask them what their frustrations were. And he learned so much about, like we use this proprietary software we would build, and he would get feedback from them because he just let their guard down and they were open and honest with them with their frustrations. Yeah.
He had built that trust and that safe space. They had a safe space we could share. I know the listeners of Percent are going to be like, duh, we did not plan this, but we have a coaching system. What we know is that a lot of companies can spend money on coaches for the CEO, COO, directors, VPs, but everyone in the organization would benefit from coaching. So we have a coaching scaffold that we've put in that companies can apply. And it's fascinating that you would say that, because really what it's all about is facilitating high quality connections and conversations, just like what you said in positive psychology. Because like you said, it's just sitting across from someone that's being present and asking questions, and then just listening, just letting this, hearing them out. And you're not expecting necessarily anything, and yet you can receive so much just by being present.
You receive so much.
Yeah.
you benefit. That's the point of the high quality connections, is that there's two people who benefit in that.
Mm.
It's you and the other person, is that you're receiving back from them things you often don't expect. I shared the example several years ago. I flew into Boston and I got an Uber. It was late, like 11:30 flight was delayed. I was tired. I got in with my Uber driver. He was from Eastern country. Nicest guy. He started talking to me and I wasn't initially in the mood, but he asked me about my spirituality, asked me about my family. And we just got into this meaningful conversation for 45 minutes. And he dropped me off at my hotel. He came around and it's the only time I've ever gotten a hug from my Uber driver, you know? And I'll tell you, for the next several days, I was on cloud nine. I was like, that was the coolest thing. So those connections in our, when we're leaders, when with our staff, it's just, it changes our, that's the good life to me, is like when you're having those on a regular basis, we need those. Even if you are an introvert or you are label yourself as an introvert, you still need those connections, those meaningful connections.
That sound means it's time to take a break and hear a word from our sponsor. If you lead an organization or a team, one of the biggest challenges you face is developing your people. Think Move Thrive is here to help you on your journey. We've developed a coaching system that integrates into your team or organization to consistently develop your employees, build trust, gain valuable feedback, and increase accountability. Leadership retreats and summits are great. We even build those custom for our clients, but they're only part of the solution because they lack consistency. Our one-on-one coaching app is the missing piece in your employee development program. We help new leaders get to know their teams. We help technical managers be more relational, and we help ensure that your relational rock stars stay organized. We developed the system for a client, and it was so successful. We created the app to help more organizations develop their people, build trust, engagement, and you guessed it, performance. For more information, go to thinkmovethrive.com to learn more about the one-on-one coaching system and start developing your team today. Back to the show.
I think that's so important. It's not only that what you can get as well, because here's the funny thing. We hear people that go to this program and they may be a new leader or a technical manager. They're not used to it. Sometimes people, and just naturally, because of the business of life, I know I'm guilty of this. One of the first things that goes is that presence with people when everything's going nuts and haywire and there's all kind of problems to solve and you get busy. You sometimes neglect just stopping for a minute and being, hey, how's your kids? Where are you at? Checking in. How's your role? Are you happy with doing what you're doing? Because we're so transactional at that point. We're just moving. And so that for me, one of the cool things is that we've seen through this system is that you get feedback. Like you said, you were on cloud nine after talking to your Uber driver and getting a hug from him. And that's like this most random, like this hug from your Uber driver. But then he blessed you. Like you're like, man, I'm blessed for getting this hug. I'm feeling this for days. And so I think a lot of the coaches that, and I would say business leaders to your point, to encourage them, yes, we get information and feedback from them. Yes, we build trust. Yes, we build engagement and all those things, but you can't overlook what you're actually getting out of it beyond the transactional. I'm just going to listen to you so that you'll work harder or tell me what I need to know, that you're missing the boat. The point is connection. And so if you listen to someone with intent to really get to know them and really understand them, you end up being, especially if you're curious, you end up being blessed just like you were with the Uber driver. So I think that's so
curiosity. So, huge. And it's creating the space to do it.
Yes.
If you overschedule your day and you are up against projects and up against things, and I'm as guilty as anybody doing that, right? Is that we can overschedule ourselves to where we don't make the time for those high quality connections. Mm-hmm. And so that white space in your schedule as a leader, that builds culture. Like culture should be your number one priority when it comes to your business.
That's right. I love it. So now let's talk a little bit about Entree Thrive. This is your book. We've talked all about the different laws that you have in it and all the great advice that you've shared. What inspired you to write Entree Thrive? You've done these businesses, you've been successful, and now you're like, I'm writing a book. So tell us a little bit about what inspired you to write Entree Thrive.
Yeah, you know, I don't think I had a big goal of writing a book when I started my master's program. And it was in the process of doing all the research for my capstone at the end where I'm like, you know what? This could be a book. And I met my publisher through a networking group a strategic coach, and we just hit it off. I told him what my thoughts were and what I was thinking, and he was like, that would be a great book. So it was not just a great book. We talked about the target audience, and I often come back to my 2015 self and said, okay, that's my target. And there's many out there that I felt needed these more science-backed approach to being. Is I'm a huge fan of the self-help out there. I've absorbed plenty of that over the years, and yes, a lot of it's helped me. Brian Tracy wrote my introduction in the book.
That's awesome.
I'm a huge so fan cool. of Brian. He was a game changer for me early on in my entrepreneurial journey. And he's turned out, I've gotten to know Brian. He is one of the nicest, most generous people on the planet. And so love all that. But I also wanted to lean into the research of well-being and positive psychology. I really like to make this point. It's not the science of happiness necessarily, like how to be happy. It's really the science behind why do some people thrive and why do some people don't. And you'd be blown away by the research that's been done in that field on that. It's really the proactive side of psychology rather than the reactive side.
Yes.
Where we're trying to get in front and allow everyone to thrive regardless. You don't have to be going through a crisis.
Right.
To use these principles.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's why I wrote the book, as I thought of like I said, I was in the pack. I wasn't like behind in 2015 of most entrepreneurs. I was just with everyone else. And my goal again is to help people break away from that and really lean into their best selves.
I love
it.
I love it, man. That is so good. We're all about leaning in. I love how you said that. Lean into your best self. If there was a slogan or catchphrase for the last 10%, man, that would be it. Lean into your best self. That's fantastic. So
hey, let's write a book together on
that. Yeah. Let's do it. Let's do it, man. Collaboration, man. We're all about it. Tell our listeners, where can they, if they want to find Aaron and the Entree Thrive, where can they connect with you and your book?
Yeah. We'd love to offer your listeners. We actually created a URL or a website, and then just go to entrethrive.com.
Okay.
entrethrive.com/last10.
All right. Last 10.
And they can download. Yeah. They can download the last 10 numerical 10, the number 10.
Yeah, number 10.
And they can download the Entre Clarity Guide. So I talk about those guiding truths. There's questions in there to help them build out their guiding truths. And so we just want to offer that to your listeners. And then for home care providers, you can go to our breakawayaccelerator.com website. But EntreThrive.com will get you where you need to go.
That's fantastic.
Order the book from there. You can link to it. So
we will put all of that in the show notes. So guys, please check that after. You can absolutely go and download that. We would highly encourage you to go and download and check out Aaron's website. We always ask this question to all of our guests at the end of the show. And that is, who is someone that you would like to hear as a guest on the last 10%?
Chad Willardson.
Okay.
I don't know if you know Chad. Chad Willardson, he's a four-time best-selling author. He's more in the financial side, but he's written some really epic books. Stress-Free Money is one of them. Okay. Chad's a friend, and I can connect you to Chad, but he'd be an exceptional host or a guest.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll have to reach out. We'll get with you after the show and see if we can connect with Chad, and we'll have him as a guest. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Well, Aaron, this has been a fantastic episode. I really appreciate all that you've shared. I know the listeners have been digging you just dropped a lot of truth on the show today and a lot of great advice and some tactical mindset advice. So it's just been really good. I'd love to hear your story. And man, we'll have to talk soon about that book project that we'll do a collaboration on. But thanks again. And listen, we'll have you back on the show sometime in the last 10%. Thanks for being a guest today.
I would love it. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us today on The Last 10%. We hope you found today's content engaging and encouraging.
Remember to subscribe to the podcast to hear the latest episodes. And help us out by rating and reviewing us so others will join our community. We release new episodes every other Tuesday. This podcast can be found globally in any podcasting app, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Amazon. Subscribe today. Plus, visit our website, join our email list, and discover resources and info for your business and team at thinkmovethrive.com. Thanks again for listening to The Last 10%.